Greetings, friends and listeners, and welcome to this program of the R.G. Hardy Ministries as we proclaim the power of the gospel. Because souls are crying, men are dying, we must engage to win the lost at any cost. I'm Sharon Knotts, and I'm excited to bring a message I preached at Faith Tabernacle Church recently entitled The Dynamic Duo. For years, the weakest link in my spiritual walk was a dismal, anemic prayer life. But events in my life forced me to make changes, and today I have an exciting, enjoyable prayer life. And you too can pray red-hot prayers. Today's message is about our two powerful intercessors, the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, and Jesus Christ, our High Priest, who are actively making intercession on our behalf. I'll be back to tell you how you can get a copy of the CD, The Dynamic Duo.
Next phrase, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes when it comes to praying for what is necessary, and that's what it means, what we ought. What we ought to really means what is necessary, what is needful, what we should be and must be praying about. Sometimes we don't get it. Ever been there? Ever been that you really don't know what you should be praying for? It could be because you really don't have a handle on the situation. If it's a spiritual thing that we're dealing with, a spiritual weakness, we really don't have a handle on it. We don't really know how to articulate what we need to be saying. When somebody comes and says, okay, my loved one is in the hospital and has such and such a disease, it's easy to know what to pray for. Amen. I don't need a revelation. I know this person's got this particular problem. They've got this sickness. Now this is what God's word says. Let's pray about it. But sometimes you're in a warfare and you haven't figured out yet where the enemy is. You haven't figured out yet what the plot is, what the wile is. But you feel the warfare. You know something is happening and you don't know how to articulate it. Amen. So that is one of the times when the Holy Spirit is able to help us to know how we ought to pray. Other times there are things we need to confess. We need to confess in our lives. And you know, the thing that always amazes me is that when I find out I got a problem I didn't know I had, I'm like, wow, I didn't know I had that problem. You know, it's like, wow, you know, you don't think you have certain problems. You don't think you have certain character flaws. Or like that one message I preach, peccadillos and foibles. You know about everybody else, what they have, and then one day, all of a sudden, circumstances in your life put you in a certain place where that thing comes out of you. And you're like, wow, I didn't even know I had that. And the Holy Spirit convicts you and says, yep, you've been contributing to the thing that's going on in your life. You're contributing to it by, now this, you need to deal with this. We don't know it sometimes till the Holy Spirit shows us. And I tell you, most of the time he will show you when you're in prayer. You'll be praying and all of a sudden it'll come to you and you know, pray that. Pray that now. You'll confess that thing then. And oh, what a release. What a washing. What a cleansing. What a deliverance. Amen? Or we could not know how to pray what to pray for us we ought, because we're in a position where we have allowed our flesh to get the upper hand. Remember, I always say, when the flesh is in ascendancy, the spirit's in descendancy. We got to flip it around. We got to get the spirit in ascendancy and the flesh in descendancy. But sometimes when we're struggling with our flesh, we don't know how to pray what we ought to be praying because our flesh is fighting us. He doesn't want us to pray to get the victory. How many, you know what, you have to get that revelation. You must get the revelation that the fact that your flesh is not spiritual. Your flesh is not spiritual. When you realize that, you know, don't be shocked. Please don't be shocked. The scripture says in Galatians 5:17, the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary. So don't be surprised when your flesh doesn't want you to pray about that thing. Amen. He's not spiritual. He doesn't esteem the things of God. In fact, he's hostile to them. So again, that is when we need divine help. And that's when the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. Now, if you read along with me, you notice that in verse 26, we have the Spirit makes intercession for us. And in verse 27, it's repeated. The Spirit makes intercession for us. But I want to tell you that they're not exactly the same words. They are the same root word. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It's even harder than that last one. Okay? They have the same root word. But verse 26 has an extra prefix on it that verse 27 doesn't have. What difference does that make? I want to tell you that the one that's this particular word that is in verse 26, you will not find it in the day that the Bible was written, in the first century, in the time when Paul and Peter and John and the disciples wrote the New Testament. This particular word did not exist in the literature of the day. It only exist in literature that has to do with the Bible. So we can say it is a Christian term. How many understand that? It is really a Christian word because it was not used outside. How many open up the Baltimore Sun or whatever paper you read, and how often do you see the word in there? You know, I'll just pull one out of the air. Edification. Do you hear anything about, well, we went to this play and it was very edifying. We went to the ball game. It was a wonderful game. We all left edified. No, it's a Christian term. Amen? It's very, very rarely you're going to find that word somewhere in some secular thing. But boy, as soon as you start talking about the scriptures or the Bible or Christians or the saints or going to church, the word edify just slips right in. You use it very often. Amen? So I made that point to show you that this word that says maketh intercession for us in verse 26 is not found outside of biblical literature. Now, because it has this extra prefix on it, the picture is that you or I, the believer, the Christian, are in an emergency situation. We're in a critical place. We are really at a point where we could go either way. Okay, we're in a dilemma of some kind. We're in trouble. And it's like someone, you could be walking down the street, and all of a sudden you come upon someone who's lying on the sidewalk. Maybe y'all balled up, and you see, obviously, that person is in trouble. You don't know if they got hit on the head and were mugged. You don't know if they had a heart attack. You don't know if they fainted. You don't know what's wrong with them. But something's wrong because you're walking down a public sidewalk and there's someone lying on the ground, all twisted up and in pain. And you know that person is in trouble. So you're not just going to say, wow, poor guy, and keep walking. No, you're going to stop and say, what's wrong? What's the matter? Did something, what happened? What can I, you're going to get help. You're going to do something. You're going to rescue that person. And that is what this word means. We are in a dilemma. We are in a place. However we got there, it could be a satanic attack. We could have opened the door. We could have let the flesh get the upper hand. Whatever the reason is, we're in a place of an emergency, a critical place. And the Holy Spirit comes along and he rescues us. He rescues us. Amen. He's interceding for us on our behalf. I want you to see the main thing about this, it maketh intercession in verse 26, is that he intercedes for us. F-O-R, for us. Because right then we are not in a position and a condition that we are making any kind of progress ourselves. Amen. We're down. We've been cast down. We're in a bad place. We're in a dangerous, critical moment. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit helps us. He makes intercession for us in that he prays for us on our behalf. He's supplicating for us. Because we're in trouble. And how does he do it? He does it with groanings that cannot be uttered. This means sighs. Sighs that come from deep down in your belly. Sighs that are too deep for words. Amen. Let me show you what it means by giving you this scripture. Don't go there, but I'll just tell you. In Acts 7:34, God says, I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. Now that's somebody in trouble. Amen. That is someone who can't help himself, who's being grievously vexed by the oppressor. I've seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning. I've heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and finds us in our affliction, finds us in our adversity, finds us being oppressed by the evil taskmaster, he begins to groan for us. And God Almighty, he hears the groaning of the Holy Spirit. He says, I am going to come down and deliver you. Amen. Remember, somebody's transmitting, somebody's receiving. Amen. The Holy Ghost is groaning, and it's because it's too deep. The needs are so great, it's too deep for words. Amen. He is groaning for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now that means cannot be articulated in words, but it doesn't mean it's soundless. It doesn't mean it's silent. It just means you can't put it in language. Amen. Have you ever been in that kind of travail? That you went to pray, but you stopped speaking words. You even stopped speaking in tongues. First you were in English, and then you went to tongues, but you went beyond that. You got into moaning and groaning and, oh, Lord, and travailing. Amen. Because the words were not adequate. It was so deep. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does.
Amen. Saints, this message is both insightful and powerful because it gives us the knowledge and the tools we need to pray effectual, fervent, red-hot prayers that prevail over our weaknesses and our temptations. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. The Greek word is parakletos, one who comes alongside to assist us in carrying a burden too great for us. Paul said that we don't even know how to pray as we ought. And if you've ever been there, you know how discouraging and frustrating it is. But the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses and intercedes for us, even with groanings that cannot be put into human language. He knows the will of God and bypasses our brains and our doubts and our unbelief. But that's not all. We also have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities and weaknesses. And he also makes intercession for us. Because he was tempted in all points like us, he can help us when we're being tempted. The Holy Spirit is with us on earth, and he intercedes in us. And Jesus, our high priest, is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, and our high priest helps us in our temptations. There are so many revelatory nuggets in this message. You have to get the CD. For your love gift to the radio ministry of $10, ask for offer SK144 for the Dynamic Duo. Write to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or go online at rghardy.org. Remember, that's offer number SK144 for the Dynamic Duo. Our mailing address is Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203, or visit us online at rghardy.org.